The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of it of him." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They then asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is John chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. The sermon title is "A Prophet Like No Other." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you know when someone important is in town? During campaign years, the president and other presidential candidates normally make cross-country tours in order to press some flesh and win over voters. You know that he or she is in town because the TV and the newspapers announce his or her arrival in advance. If you're lucky, you might see Air Force One surrounded by Air Force jets flying into town, a motorcade with black limousines, and lots of flags flying at the hotel or convention center where the candidate will be speaking. In ancient times, things like this were a bit different. For one, there were no TVs, radios, newspapers, or cell phones, so news traveled by word of mouth. Dignitaries were not always announced far in advance. They would just show up in their chariots or carriages, surrounded by soldiers on horses and foot. When the dignitary entered the gates with his entourage, everyone would crowd around to try to figure out who he was and what his business was. The courier would announce the arrival privately to the local ruler, while the herald would announce the title and general nature of the business to the public in the city square. This ancient custom of heralds announcing dignitaries, it is what is behind our sermon text this morning. When the priests and Levites asked John the Baptist who he was, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." And this quote is from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. The people who originally heard that prophecy in Isaiah's day probably wondered what it meant. They had heard heralds preceding rulers into their city saying, "Get out of the way of the king." And that's more or less what the words "make straight the way of the Lord" really means. But why would a herald ever say such a thing way out in the wilderness, where there was nobody out there to get in the king's way? This was kind of strange. If anybody had thought about Isaiah's prophecy for a while, they may have guessed that it predicted some crazy man wandering around in the desert shouting, "Get out of the way of the king," when nobody was there at all, except for some coyotes or snakes or something. And that guess would have been close to the truth, since the people of the day heard rumors that John was some sort of crazy man shouting crazy things in the desert. When the people who went out and listened to what John was actually saying, they heard something both frightening and encouraging. John's message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In our language, we might say today, "Clean up your act, folks. God himself is coming to set up his own kingdom, and he won't tolerate any mischief or nonsense." John's hallmark of baptism was in keeping with this message of, "Clean up your act, folks." Baptism is nothing more and nothing less than repentance. That is a thorough moral and spiritual cleaning. And so the water signifies that cleaning. Luther in the Small Catechism says that baptism signifies daily repentance. John the Baptist played the role of a parent dropping the kids into the tub, cleaning them up before the in-laws arrived. The people who were baptized by John probably thought it was fun and new, without thinking much about what they were doing. People often join in religious activities just because they are exciting, fun, or new, without thinking much about what they are doing or whether it is authorized by God. John's baptism was a sign, not a sacrament, unlike Jesus' baptism. John said so in verse 26 of our text, "I baptize with water." In the parallel passage, Matthew 3:11, John is quoted as saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John's baptism did not give the Holy Spirit faith and forgiveness like Christian baptism does. John's baptism was just a washing with water, signifying that God's people were supposed to repent and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Most of the prophets of the Old Testament had a hallmark sign, and I don't mean on the back of your greeting cards. These signs or symbols were later used by Christian sculptors and painters to identify which prophet was being identified in, for example, a stained glass window or in a sculpture on the inside or outside of the church. Joseph that we know from the Old Testament, had a robe of many colors. That's his hallmark sign. Moses held two tablets of stone with the law engraved on them. And you see somebody holding two tablets with writing on it, you know that's Moses. Samuel held a flask of anointing oil. Nathan held a little lamb before King David. Isaiah was executed with a buck saw, so sometimes he's portrayed holding a buck saw or it's around his neck. Jeremiah wore a yoke around his neck. Daniel had a lion sleeping at his feet. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Ezekiel was surrounded by wheels in heaven or was stepping on a pile of human bones. John the Baptist had what his name implies, baptism. So he is shown in paintings, glass windows, and sculptures holding a shell he found in a riverbank and using it to pour water from the river over people's heads. So if you see that image in a church, you know that's John the Baptist. John the Baptist was compared by Jesus to the Old Testament prophets. John embodied all the characteristics of these men. Prophets of Israel preached faithfulness to Yahweh. Prophets of Israel preached against social vices. Prophets of Israel rebuked both kings and priests. Prophets of Israel befriended and aided the poor. And finally, prophets of Israel kept the hope of the Messiah alive, either by reminding the people of messianic prophecies already spoken, or by giving new words of hope from God himself. These words of hope are why the people of Israel preserved the words of the prophets in the Old Testament, even though the prophets themselves were usually rejected or executed. But their words carried on. John embodied all the characteristics of the prophets of Israel, but he was something more. He was the last of the prophets because it was his job to announce that Messiah had finally come. The seed of Abraham, through whom all nations would be blessed, had come. The ladder of Jacob, by whom angels descend and ascend, had come. The root of Jesse, after David's royal line had become extinct, had come. The suffering servant foreseen by Isaiah had come. And one like the Son of Man foreseen by Daniel had come. All these prophecies built up to a climax when John shouted out to the crowds, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John was a prophet like no other. No Old Testament prophet had the privilege of seeing what he saw. No prophet of any other religion came or comes even close. So what does that mean for you today? It means that you'd really better pay attention to John because he's a very rare figure in history. God does not send true prophets very often. Oh, there are plenty of false prophets in every era of history. Even every generation has its false prophets in almost every religion, including Christianity. Jesus warns us in Matthew 24, 24 to 25, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I've told you ahead of time," end of quote. The Apostle Paul warns us about the man of lawlessness, which will, quote, "be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing." That's from 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 10. And then the Apostle John warns us about many future instances, and we are in the future compared to John the Apostle, of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders in Revelations 13:3, 16:14, and 19:20. So beware of miracles, signs, and wonders, and false prophets. Don't be fooled by them. The true prophets are rare and found only in our holy scriptures. All of those prophets, both in the Old and New Testament, point to Christ. They all point to Jesus as the Savior of the world. They all point to Jesus as the only one who intercedes for you and forgives your sins. They all point to Jesus as the final source of God's word on earth. We should expect no other like prophet like John, and no additional revelation after the death of Jesus' apostles until he returns. As we come to the end of the Advent season this week, remember the words of John the Baptist, who said of Christ, "I'm not worthy to even loosen his sandal straps." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In our Savior's name, amen.